Hope you have insurance. I want to help you this morning. I really, really do. The message I'll be preaching this morning, it's definitely not a popular message whatsoever. But I didn't come to receive popularity, amen. I came to please the Lord. I want to help you. I promise you this. This preacher right here loves you. And he cares for you. And the message I'll be preaching today, I definitely, Brother Angel and I talked about it. He put his stamp of approval on it. So I definitely don't ever want to take advantage of another man's pulpit. So I believe he and I are on the same, matter of fact, I know we're on the same page concerning the subject that I'll be preaching this morning. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. How many of you have pen and paper with you this morning? I want you to pull your pens and paper out, and I want you to write some things down this morning, and I want to be able to help you. It's going to be more of a less a Bible study this morning. We'll get into some preaching, but it'll be more or less a Bible study. We're going to go through a lot of Scripture. How many of you agree with me and understand when I make the statement that the Bible is the final authority in our lives, amen? And that's what we're to live by, amen? I, as a young preacher, just been in evangelism and in the ministry for the last 6 years, and you're not looking at a preacher that has all the answers. Matter of fact, I don't even know all the questions, amen? But I do know that as my wife and I have been able to travel across this country, that there's two things that are tearing our churches from the inside out. One thing is, and hopefully none of you young people have a problem with this, but definitely adults have a problem with this, is the overindulgence of prescription drugs tearing our churches apart. And the way they justify it is, well, Brother Dallas, a doctor prescribed it to me, so it's legal. Well, pornography is legal, but that don't make it right. Abortion is legal, but that don't make it right. And the second thing that's tearing our churches up, apart, is this thing called Facebook. Now, listen to me. I'm not against technology this morning. I have an iPhone. I have an iPad. Matter of fact, I've even got two eyeballs in my head. Amen? I'm not against technology. I'm glad I got a microphone this morning. Matter of fact, can I get turned up just a little bit, please, sir? I'm not against technology whatsoever. But I want you to see from... Don't turn me off yet, amen? Don't give a deaf ear to me yet. Listen to the Word of God today. And I want to preach very quickly. I'm not against you. If you have Facebook, you can control it. That's fine. I'm not against you. I don't have Facebook. I've never been on Facebook. Wouldn't even know how to get on Facebook. But I want to preach this morning on some biblical principles that Facebook violates. Some biblical principles that Facebook violates. You understand, I want to be as close to God as I possibly can. I want to be the best Christian that I possibly can. Now, I fall short so much. I read a statement not long ago. It went like this. It said, I'm so satisfied with Christ that my only desire in life is that Christ be satisfied with me. Some biblical principles that Facebook violates. First of all, let's just use this verse for a launching pad this morning. But I promise you this morning that when we finish, all we're going to be able to rely on is the Word of God and what the Word of God says. And we're going to find out today that it shows us that there are some biblical principles that Facebook can violate. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse number 33. The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And I'm going to ask Brother Hall if he'll open us up in prayer this morning. Brother Hall. Let's start right off this morning. Thank you, Brother Hall. Let's look at Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter number 18. I want to teach you from the Word of God this morning some biblical principles that Facebook violates. Some biblical principles that Facebook violates. Let's look at Proverbs chapter number 18. Can I say the first biblical principle that Facebook violates is it violates the principle of hearing both sides of a matter before you answer it. Look at Proverbs chapter number 18. Verse number 13. The Bible says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Oftentimes, you understand, those of you that are on Facebook, opinions and comments are made off of one status or their profile based on one side of the story. Do you understand today that there's always two sides to the story? And it violates the biblical principle of hearing both sides of the matter before you hear it. You understand? We'll get into it here in just a little bit, but we're not to just go off of one person's story and automatically assume that that's the truth. You understand this morning that there's always two sides to the story. So, first of all, this morning, I've got a lot to cover here this morning, but first of all, it violates the biblical principle of hearing both sides of the matter before you answer it. Can I give you a news flash this morning? That everything on the internet is not true, amen? Everything you read on Facebook is not true. People, teenagers, young people are being torn apart because of hearing one side of the matter. Somebody gets disgruntled. Somebody gets upset. There's an argument in the youth department. And one person puts their comment on Facebook, and you hear that one side of the story, and it totally tears apart that other young person. It violates the biblical principle of hearing both sides of the story. Let's look at number two this morning. Let's look at Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11. I'm not going to give you some elaborate illustration tonight, this morning. I'm just going to give you the Word of God, and you will not be able to deny the Word of God this morning. Amen. Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 2, it says this. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. Look at Proverbs chapter number 11. Look at verse number 13. Proverbs chapter number 11. Look at verse number 13. The Bible says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 12. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 12. The Bible says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Can I say, second of all this morning, Facebook violates the biblical principle of concealment. Of concealment. You understand, there's some things that were meant to be personal and not public. Discipline in the home. family arguments or problems, church problems, normal day, everyday activity. You understand, Facebook is not a place to conceal a matter, but rather it's a place to make known a matter. You understand, young people, listen to me this morning. You understand, there are some things that happen in your home that ought to stay in your home. There are some things that happen in your church that ought to stay in your church. You understand? You're being unloyal to your family. You're being unloyal to your church if you conceal a matter that is supposed to stay private and make it public. Young people, I love you this morning. Listen to me. But I'm always hearing this from young people. I always have heard this. I even made the statement when I was a teenager. I just need my privacy. I just need a little bit of time alone. It amazes me that all these young people want their privacy, but yet they'll put everything, every one of their thoughts, every one of their actions, everything that they do on Facebook for thousands and thousands to see. It violates the biblical principle of concealment. How many of you know what TMI means? Forever, Brother Hall, people would text me and they would make little jokes. And then they would put LOL on there. And I'm like, who in the world is this LOL character? Then I understood it meant laugh out loud, amen. TMI means too much information. Think about Samson this morning. He gave a little bit too much TMI. Not only did he give a little bit too much information, but at the end of his life, he realized that there was too much invested in his life to live that way. Young people, don't put everything that you know or everything that you think that you know on Facebook, because it violates the biblical principle of concealment. How many of you want to get close to God this morning? Can I tell you this morning, it's about time we get some young people that get off of Facebook and get their face in that book and find out what it is to have the closeness of God again instead of just spending all your time on Facebook. Amen. Not only does it violate the biblical principle of hearing both sides of the matter, but it also violates the biblical principle of concealment. Facebook gives everyone on it a platform to let everyone else know how they feel about everything else. Let's look at Proverbs chapter number 26. Proverbs chapter number 26. I'm not trying to bore you this morning. I want to help you this morning. Let's look at Proverbs chapter number 26. Let's look at verse number 17. The Bible says, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. First Peter chapter number 4. Let's look at verse number 15. The Bible says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer. Look what it says. Or as a busybody in other men's matters. Can I say, third of all, this morning, it violates the biblical principle of meddling. Amen. You understand? We shouldn't be worried about what goes on in other people's homes. We shouldn't be worried about what goes on in other teenagers' lives. You understand? How many times have you heard this statement? Well, I saw on Facebook. Can I say I'm just a young preacher, but I remember, just been out of college for the last 14 years now. But I remember that when Dr. Hatch was still living and Dr. Lee Robertson was still living and those great giants of the faith, and they would come by and they would preach in church, they would preach in college and in college chapel, and us young preachers would go by and go out to eat with them after chapel. And as you can tell, I went out to eat with them a lot, amen. But you understand, I remember Brother Hall, when I'd sit down and hear those great men of God, their conversations were about the power of God and answered prayer and the Spirit of God falling down the services. But now, as I sit down with younger preachers my age, all you hear about is Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. Can I say this morning, why don't we find out what it is? To find out what it is to get the power of God back in our youth departments, in our ministries, amen? And find out what it is not to meddle in other people's business. Let's look at Romans chapter number 16. Got a lot here this morning. I want to finish. Romans chapter number 16. I hope those of you that have pen and paper, I hope you're writing these things down. Look at Romans chapter number 16. Look what it says now. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But look what it says. But yet, I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. Young people, listen to me. Can you honestly say that Facebook has made you wiser to the good? Or it's caused you to be very knowledgeable about the evil things around us? You can learn more about sin, any sin you could ever want to commit on Facebook. Can I say to some adults here this morning, if your kids are on Facebook, you're no doubt receiving an indoctrination of the world's philosophies and all the things that the world is doing, and it's making them wise to evil instead of simple being evil. Can I say, your young person shouldn't be, young people, listen to me. You shouldn't be on there being able to see how you can drink liquor and smoke dope and run around with the other crowd that is not living for God. You shouldn't be, you should know what it is to a kiss before the marriage altar. And can I say, I still believe that that we are to go pure to the marriage altar, amen. I still believe young people are to live right and act right and listen to the right things and talk about the right things. And you cannot tell me this morning that you're becoming more wise to the things of evil instead of being simple concerning evil. It amazes me what young people know these days. It amazes me what young people are getting involved in today. Could it be that Satan has blinded us and allowed an open door of Facebook to come into our homes and make us wise concerning evil? Young people, it doesn't make you simple concerning evil. It makes you wise concerning evil. But in reality, you don't become wise concerning evil. You become dumb concerning evil. Amen? Let's look at Psalm chapter 101. How many of you still listen to me this morning? Psalm chapter 101. I'm sorry if I'm getting on some of your golden calves this morning. But we're going to burn it and grind it and put it in the water this morning. We're going to ask who's on the Lord's side at the end of the service. Amen. Let's look at Psalm chapter 101. You won't have to drink the water if you don't want to. Amen. We won't make you drink the water. Look at Psalm 101. Look what verse number 3 says. It says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Let's look at Job 31. Job 31. Very familiar verse here. Look what it says. The Bible says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Can I say fit number five? It violates the biblical principle of not setting any wicked thing before our eyes. Can I ask us this morning? You respond. Is cussing still sin? Is alcohol still sin? Is drugs and partying and rebelling against parents, is it still sin? Is girls in bikinis on vacation, that's still sin? Parties and lewd and sensual photos, all kinds of images of sin and wickedness are before your eyes every day if you're on Facebook. You understand from what I understand? On Facebook, you can be a friend with one person that's a pretty good person. But this person can be a friend with an alcoholic, a dope addict, a full-blown homosexual, and automatically they become your friend because you're their friend. And can I say, it shows you and it allows you a wide open door to the things of this world, and you're putting wicked things before your eyes. Many people have full-blown homosexuals as friends. Can I ask us, is a man still kissing a man? Is that sin? Young people, listen to me this morning. Satan wants nothing more for you to, he don't care how he gets you, he don't care if he gets you on Facebook, to get involved in the sins of this world. He'll use Facebook to do it. And the biblical principles that Facebook violates this morning. Let's look at number six. Let's look at number six. Let's look at Ephesians chapter number five. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 16. It says, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Let's look at John chapter number 9. Young people, you read through history. And when God sent those heaven-sent, Holy Ghost-wrought revivals to foreign lands and even to our country, many times it started with young people getting a hold of God and thoroughly getting right with the Holy Triune God. And can I say this morning, I believe with all my heart, that I'm not talking to a bunch of losers this morning. I'm talking to a bunch of winners. That if they could get a hold of God and find out what it is to devote their time instead of to Facebook and devote their time to God and getting thoroughly right with God and quit putting all the wicked things in your mind and in your body and finding out what it is to get off of that and get a hold of the God of heaven, I believe revival could break out in this country again. That's the only hope for our country is a heaven sent Holy Ghost wrought revival. Let's look at John. Let's look at chapter number 9, verse number 4. It says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. It violates the biblical principle of time. It is said that teenagers, listen to me, teenagers average 12 hours per week on social networking sites like Facebook. That's 624 hours a year. I wonder how many young people would get saved if you knocked doors for 624 hours this year. I wonder how many people have you led to the Lord on Facebook in the last year? How do the numbers compare? Social networking has proven to be addicting like a drug. Maybe some of you have heard this story. One mother actually shook her baby to death when the infant would not quit crying while she was trying to build a farm on Farmville. She shook her baby to death because she needed to devote more time to Facebook than to her own child. I wonder tonight, this morning, some of you haven't showed up to Team Soul Winning in a month, but your Facebook status is updated by the hour. You're more interested in planting strawberries on a computer game than you are raising your own, than some of you parents raising your own family. I know that I'm not going to be popular this day. I understand that. But listen to me. The biblical principles that Facebook violates. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. I want to go slow. I want us to see from the Word of God. How many of you, I'm just a little bit under halfway through, how many of you can see from the Word of God and cannot deny what this preacher is saying this morning, that there are some biblical principles that Facebook violates. Amen? Let's look at number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. Can I say to some of you youth directors this morning, maybe some of your teenagers would get off Facebook if you'd get off Facebook. Maybe some of your teenagers would show up to Teen Soul Winning if they weren't communicating back and forth with you all day on Facebook. Amen? Man, that went over like a lead balloon, but let's go on. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. Let's look at verse number 9. It said, I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or the extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother or be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or extortioner with such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Can I say it violates number 7, the biblical principle of separation. And whatever happened to preaching on separation? Whatever happened to say that we shouldn't be friends with the drunkards and the dope addicts and those that listen to rock and roll music and those that don't dress right and look right? It's about time that we youth directors and young people, we find out what it is to stand and firm for separation in our lives again. The Bible is clear to us in many different passages, just like this one, that we're to separate ourselves from the world. You have no need to constantly be looking back at the life you used to live before you got saved. Facebook allows saved people to keep in touch with the life they left behind. Can I say this? A disgruntled family leaves the church and you're still there. If you're loyal to your man of God and to your church, can I say you don't need to be communicating with some disgruntled family that's left the church that hates that pastor and hates that church? We ought to separate ourselves from them. Young person, you have no right to be linked up with friends on Facebook. Teenagers that have left your youth department, that have gone and sowed their wild oats and living for the devil. You need to separate yourselves from them. Number 8, let's look at James chapter number 1. If the prodigal son was alive today, many of you would be keeping up with him on Facebook. James chapter number 1. Look at verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Can I say it violates the biblical principle of listening? Of listening. You've heard the saying, why God gave us two ears and one mouth? Because He wants us to hear more than we talk. Amen. Facebook gives a platform for young people to voice their opinions to the world. Listen, young people, listen to me. Young people should be listening and learning and not doing all the talking. You understand? From what I understand, doing some research, it is actually against Facebook term of use for a 12-year-old or under to have an account. And in fact, in March of 2011, 20,000 profiles a day were deleted for not meeting age requirements. And if Facebook has enough sense to turn those away, we ought to have enough sense to turn ourselves away from Facebook and find out what it is to listen more than we're talking. Amen. Let's look at Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs. Churches I go to all over the country. I'll preach the same message. There'll be a person on this side of the auditorium and a person on this side of the auditorium. The Spirit of God will touch this one's heart, but it won't touch this one's heart. You know why? Because they're too busy updating their profile on Facebook during the preaching service. Proverbs chapter number 18. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says the words of a talebearer are as wounds. And they go down into the uttermost parts of the belly. You understand, gossip and slander fills the pages of Facebook. It's an updated newspaper of all the juicy talk. It's the up-to-the-minute gossip. Facebook is a utopia for talebearers. Some will always take a preacher when they are attacked, but you will never forget the trash you filled your mind with. And it might be 5 years down the road when the devil reminds you of things that you read and things that you talked about on Facebook, and he'll bring that back into your life, and you'll find out what it is to be a casualty in this war. Here's to some of you married folks here this morning. I know there's very few, but let me just go ahead and get you while I'm at it. Amen. Let's look at Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. Look at verse number 24. The Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Look at Ephesians chapter number 6. Look at Ephesians chapter number 6. Look at Ephesians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Number 10, it violates the biblical principle of marriage and the structure of the home. You understand? Facebook is in an all-out attack of the home and marriages from the devil himself. It's a breeding ground for infidelity. It's a place for children and teens to showcase their rebellion, and a place for unfaithful spouses to scout for an adulterous affair. I was sitting at dinner a couple years ago with a young preacher about the same age as I am. We were sitting there, and the wife began to tell about some problems that their family faced. And she said, the way I was able to kind of relieve myself of some of the stress is I got on Facebook, and I began to talk to another friend. And she just began to just listen to her for a little bit. I began to hear what she was saying. And come to find out, she wasn't talking to another female. She was talking to another man, the same age as we are. Can I tell you, my friend, I don't want to use some social networking site to talk to another woman. But I love my wife. She's my wife. I don't want her talking to another man. You say, Brother Dallas, you're just insecure in your marriage. My friend, I'm not insecure in anything. But if I know Satan can get an open door to destroy a marriage, he'll use Facebook in order to do that. And how many casualties? How many do we have to see throw away everything because they talked to somebody else on Facebook? How many of you, the name Ashley Madison would mean anything to you? Nobody. Let me tell you about Ashley Madison. Listen to this. Ashley Madison is a company, listen to this, is a company that specializes in setting you up to have a discreet, adulterous affair. And they said their two top competitors were Facebook and the workplace. Divorce lawyers, are you listening to me? Youth director, are you listening to me, principal? Are you listening to me, pastor? Divorce lawyers are now saying that 80% of all divorce happens as a result of married people connecting with someone else on social networking sites like MySpace and Facebook. Can I ask you today, what's more important, Facebook or your marriage? What's more important, Facebook or your family or your ministry? Why don't we get back to making the important things important again in our lives? 1 Peter chapter number 3. First Peter chapter number 3. Let's look at verse number 4. This is for you young ladies. 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse number 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. Look what it says. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Look what it says, which is in the sight of God of great price. Facebook's not the place for a lady to reveal a meek and a quiet spirit. It's quite the contrary. Can I say to you young ladies this morning, letting the world know all your heart and mind about everything and you putting your opinion about everything out to be known is hardly a meek and quiet spirit. Posting dozens and dozens of pictures of yourself and posing in a provocative and a distasteful pose is hardly a meek and a quiet spirit. It's violating the biblical principle of a meek and a quiet spirit. Number 12. Let's look at Philippians. Don't you love the Word of God? Amen. Let's look at Philippians chapter number 4. Verse number 8. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Can I say number 12, it violates the biblical principle of right thinking. Of right thinking. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but listen to this preacher. Can you honestly say that Facebook causes you to think on things that the Lord is pleased with? Or all of the posts and profiles and opinions you read, is it edifying to the cause of Christ in your thought life? No wonder this morning we've got so many young people that are depressed and can't sleep good at night. No wonder I'm dealing with dozens and dozens of young people that I talk to on an every other day basis that are cutting themselves and contemplating suicide because their thinking is gone and they're so depressed and so discouraged about things that they're reading on Facebook. You want me to tell you something that'll never depress you? You want me to tell you something that'll never discourage you? Is this Bible right here and finding out what it is to have a prayer life and a walk with God, young people. Find out what it is to quit being so... Understand this morning that God didn't intend for us to be losers, but He intended for us to be winners and to live a victorious Christian life. But we're not going to be able to do that by spending all of our time on Facebook. Number 13. Got this one and one more. Amen. Let's look at Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs. As far as we've gone right now, question is this. From what we've already seen from the Word of God and from what we've already talked about, I don't want you to look at your brother or your sister next to you. I don't want you to look at the friends in front of you. I want you to take an individual look at yourself right now. Concerning this matter of Facebook, can you say this with all the truthfulness in the world? Are you right with God this morning concerning your Facebook account? Number 13. Look at chapter number 16. Look at verse number 18. The Bible says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." Number 13, it violates the biblical principle of humility. It violates the biblical principle of humility. How often a day do you get on Facebook to see how many new followers you have? And I've got 500 a day. Tomorrow you'll wake up, you've got 510, and you'll stick your chest out and just walk around like you're somebody. Can I say what you are is prideful this morning, amen? And it's violating the biblical principle of humility in our lives, amen? Number 14, I finish. Let's look at James chapter number 4. James. chapter number 4. Let's look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Facebook's a network of friends. Let me ask you, what kind of friends do you have on Facebook? Are your friends full of the world? Are you still trying to stay connected to the world? You're so connected to the world that you're disconnected from God. I wonder this morning, how many biblical principles have to be violated before the Holy Ghost is grieved or quenched? Could it be that Facebook is the cause of some of your prayers not getting answered? Could it be that Facebook has been an open door for you to have sin and rebellion in your life? Could it be for some of you young men this morning, could Facebook be the reason that 6 months ago when you went to a youth rally or youth revival, you came down, you made a commitment, and you had all that fire, and you had all that zeal, and you were going to go back and be a leader in your youth department, but now it's 6 months later, and you're as dead as Job's turkey this morning. Why? Because you're so disconnected from God and the things of God. Could it be this morning, the very thing that is used of Satan to get you to be a prodigal? Let me ask us this morning. Is Facebook really used as a tool to evangelize the lost? You send the cold hard facts from the Word of God this morning. Say, "I'm mad at you, preacher. Don't be mad at me." You better be mad at God this morning, because you saw it from the Word of God this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder who would say, "Brother Dallas, right here, right now, this morning service, Brother Dallas, my heart's not right with God concerning some things that I've been talking about, looking at on Facebook. And Brother Dallas, I sure would appreciate it if you'd pray for me that I could get right with God." I wonder who would raise their hand this morning. I wonder who would raise their hand. I see that hand. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. I'm not going to ask you to give me detail what you've been looking at and watching and talking about, but I'm going to ask us all to stand all across the room this morning. I'm going to ask to stand all across the room this morning as the pianist begins to play. If you raise your hand for one reason or the other, I'm going to ask you to hit the altar this morning. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, listen to me. Maybe some of you are innocent of the charges that we brought out today. Why don't you step out this morning and ask God for you not to dabble in those kinds of sins? God speaking to your heart this morning. Get right with God, young person. Too many casualties in this war. I believe with all my heart that as bad as our country is right now, and the road she's going down. I believe it could all be turned around for the young people that sit in this very room right here this morning. I wonder if there'd be somebody at the altar saying, Brother Dallas, I sure would appreciate it if somebody would pray with me. I wonder if you just slip up your hand, somebody come down and pray with you this morning. I see this young lady right here. Is there somebody that can come pray with this young lady right here? She may have somebody right there praying with her. Anybody else, Brother Dallas, I need somebody to pray with me. I sure would appreciate it. I see this young man's hand right here. I wonder if somebody would pray with him. Young man right here that needs somebody to play with. Need somebody to come down and play with him.
Heavenly Father, thank you for what we heard this morning, Lord. Heard it straight from your word, Lord.